Love.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and I am broadcasting live from the offices of Eloquent Online and AdTracts.org in beautiful, sunny, crisp New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joining me on the other side of the internet glass, your friend and mine, the COO, the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, your buddy, Troy Hall.
Hey, how are you, Jason?
Doing great. I'm excited about today's show. We've got... I am too.
I'm really excited about what we're going to be able to do.
We've got Lynn Stevens with Mountain America Credit Union. He brought home some hardware from the much aforementioned GAC meeting last month, or I guess earlier this month. And he's going to be with us to talk about one of our favorite subjects, corporate culture, human resources, managing a lot of people, a lot of personalities through some pretty crazy economic times. And then, of course, you and I got some tough stuff to drop on the audience about what we were doing on Twitter this week, our little prank slash experiment, which I found to be very, very enlightening. And like we always tell people, when you tune into this show, it's just like going to a credit union conference without the expensive hotel food and the TSA shakedown. And speaking of both, since I will experience both next week, want a big quick shout-out to NAPQ, Strategic Growth Conference. Yours truly, myself, and the musicians, Scott McKenna and Nike Van Wyk, are kicking off that show next Tuesday morning down in Fort Lauderdale, and we're looking forward to that. So how's everything going with you in South Carolina?
It is going great, and probably just like it is in Mountain America Credit Union, it's like here in beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains, the sun still shines.
No, that's right. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you get to hear from somebody who is the best at what he does. Lynn Stevens with Mountain America is going to join us and talk about some human resources and other related issues, and we'll be right back after this. You are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And joining us from beautiful West Jordan, Utah, near Salt Lake City, he brought home some hardware from the GAC conference. He is the 2010 CU Trailblazer Award winner in the area of human resources, and it is our pleasure, distinct pleasure, to welcome to the show from Mountain America Credit Union, Mr. Lynn Stevens. Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Thanks, Jason.
Welcome in. We're happy to have you on the show.
Thanks, Troy.
You're great. Yeah, it's great having you on this show. In the interest of full disclosure, myself and our master violinist, Nike Van Wyk, were out at your beautiful campus in West Jordan a couple weeks back, and I walked away with a profound appreciation for what you guys are doing out there. And I told Troy this, and I think I might have said it on the air as well. What I saw out there with you guys is that you guys are a great organization, an innovative organization, a very forward-thinking organization that just happens to be a credit union, but that you would be that whether you were building Foreman grills or skateboards or ski equipment. And so we're real happy to have you on the program. You heard me mention the musicians. We're going out to Fort Lauderdale next week with our Power of Performance at the NAPQ show. And there are three of us at Eloquent Online. There's three performers' personalities. Lynn, I'm here to tell you, all three of us struggle at times with one another's personality. You've got 1,000 personalities that you're helping to manage and to shape and to train and stuff like that. My question for you is, how do you do it?
Well, I think, you know, the key to that is our management team. They're really the key to working with employees and kind of working through the interpersonal issues. They have to know how to run their business and run their part of the business, whether it be a branch or a functional part of the business. But I think they also need to be able to wear other hats, especially those hats like being a coach, being a judge, being a referee, being a mentor, being a teacher.
Right.
And of course, that's where human resources comes in. We help provide advice and counsel to the managers and employees regarding issues when they come up. And then we also assign human resource business partners to each section of the business or a section of the business so that they have a resource they can go to help them with those things. And then we also try to provide those managers with ongoing educational opportunities, both in-house and through other vendors, so they can learn how to be really good at what they do.
Yeah, and you know, that is really important when you talk about the management team and you talk about those multiple hats that, that people wear, because I think that what I can experience, I've attended a few conferences with some of the folks from Mountain America and realistically could sense immediately that you guys have a fantastic culture at your credit union. So if you're just looking at it from your HR perspective, what do you think is the most important items or the most important tasks or objectives that, that your folks need to do in order to maintain that great culture?
You know, it's a great question, and I think it's one that organizational behavior specialists kind of struggle with and look at a lot. My opinion on that is you have to have a really well-defined and well-understood mission and vision. And that has to be, that mission and vision has to be supported by a common set of values, a set of values that everybody understands and lives by. So at Mountain America, we spend time every morning. We have a thing we call our morning meeting. And in that morning meeting, which lasts just a few minutes, we talk about one of those aspects of our culture, whether it be our vision or our motto, our mission, our core values, or member service standards. And we have 16 of these that we go through. And managers meet with their employees, or employee groups can just meet together. But they meet every day, and sometime during that day, talk about this. And we have a standard one that we talk about each day, and we rotate through these 16. So it's a way to reinforce on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, what it is we're all about. And those continual reminders and conversations about these things are what reinforces and continues our focus and keeps everybody rowing in the same direction.
Oh, that's great.
And as a follow-up question to that, I want to ask you, so how does that culture now impact your members?
Well, you know, part of what we talk about is member service. And one of our core values is quality service. And then a number of those 16 standards that I mentioned are service standards. They're things like greeting members and valuing them and asking how we can help and listening and providing help and inviting them back. So there's six of them right there, six of the 16. And then another three of them are to assess members' needs, advise them and on how we can help and then assist them, you know, to get them what they need. So we try and talk about these things and a good part of them, half of them or more, are about how we deal with members. Now, you say, well, how does that affect a group like, you know, accounting or human resources that's kind of internally driven? And certainly we have, as our customers, as our clients, those people who are doing that member service. So it all ties together.
Great point. That is a great point. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Lynn Stevens. He is the 2010 CU Times Trailblazer winner in the area of human resources. I guess you got the award for the year 20, and you picked it up this year in 2011. I wanted to ask you about those applause cards. When I read about this in the CU Times, I'll tell you, my first reaction was, everybody should be doing this. I should be doing this. I should be sending applause cards to Nike and Scott. I should certainly be sending out things to the studio audience here, who has a very, very poor impression of me. The studio audience is very, very much on Troy's side when it comes to the radio program. Tell us about those applause cards.
Yeah, so what we found was we found that managers, when they wanted to recognize employees, they would get gift cards for local restaurants. So they'd go and they'd get, you know, an Applebee's gift card, and they'd give it to their employee when they noticed them doing something good. And so we said, you know, it'd be great if we had a more formalized way of providing managers this tool so they could go and recognize employees. So we went and did a little bit of research, and our internal communications person, Christina Anderson, did a lot of this project. But we went and looked to see kind of what was out there. And what we found was it would be nice if we could do a recognition that may or may not be monetary. It could just be a thank you card.
Right.
If we could do that in a way that made it really easy for managers and employees to recognize others and then associate with that some points, if they wanted to add some points, and then employees could accumulate those points or they could use them to purchase these gift cards or other kind of things that they might be interested in getting. And so we put an array of card themes out there, and some of them are based on our customer service standards, things like, you know, part of it is catching people doing good things, right? So we have one that says caught ya. We have several that say thank you. We have some that say, we have one that says wow. So kind of a wow service thing. We've included now things like happy birthday, so that, you know, we can allow employees to recognize others for that special day. And just, you know, a way to sort of say in a more formalized way, thank you, and by the way, here's some points that go along with that you can go and get something. I know I mentioned our internal communications manager, Christina. She went and saved her points up and got a Wii for her
nice.
Wii game system for her family this week. And she said, I asked her how it was going. She says, well, the kids won't let me play it yet, but I'll let you know as soon as I get a turn.
Exactly. That's great.
But, yeah, so you know, it's really a great way to recognize employees and allow managers to do that in an easy online, go out and do it and get it done sort of way.
Yeah, Lynn, I can't tell you how much I echo those particular thoughts. And I know this isn't an opportunity to talk about our HR department and things that they do, but I really believe you guys have so much in common because of doing these similar creative things, and this on-the-spot recognition is so important for employees. And we know that the number one reason that a employee will leave this credit union is because of the disconnect between their supervisor and themselves for a variety of reasons. And having all of these elements in place are important for us to retain talent. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting in looking at the article that the CU Times put together for you was that when you first came to Mountain America, you recognized that there was no formal program in place to help develop future talent. Would you say that that is something that credit unions should focus on to help us be more efficient in the way we can develop the culture and relate that to the members?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, if you're looking at, you know, how HR can be strategic, and I think most HR leaders try and do that, and they want to have a voice in the business and how the business can be better. Doing a more comprehensive view of talent management is key to that, I think. That's where, because really we're talking about the people management side of the business. If you look at most credit unions and most businesses' cost structure, you know, half or more of their expense is related to salaries and benefits and people-related expenditures, right? So here you have this huge amount of outlay in terms of asset that goes into these people side of the business, and yet, you know, what do we do to sort of manage that? And how do we, you know, if we had a very expensive machine, wouldn't we be very careful about how we maintain it? We'd keep it oiled, we'd keep it, you know, dust-free, we'd do whatever we needed to do to keep that thing up and running. And yet here we have half of our expense of the business, and what do we do to keep it up and running? And I think, you know, paying attention to people's development, paying attention to giving them feedback about things that they do well, building on their strengths, as well as kind of giving them the tools they need to get better in places where they might have gaps in terms of performance, are all key to keeping that, you know, a well-running business. And really, if you think about it, the only way as financial institutions we differentiate ourselves is how we service members. I mean, yeah, there's some kind of unique products here and there, but they're usually pretty readily replicated. And so where we can really differentiate ourselves is on our member service. And the only way we provide that member service is through having great employees. And, you know, that's what we try to do is provide a way that employees can be great.
Well, listen, Lynn, this is something that Troy and I always talk about, how quickly the time goes when we're having an interesting conversation. We're about halfway through the show right now. Can you hold on just for a second? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back to you after this.
You bet.
All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are generally handsome. We're visiting with Lynn Stevens. He's the Senior Vice President of Human Resources and the 2010 Credit Union Times Trailblazer winner in the discipline of human resources. I had a question for you, Lynn. When I started work in banking in the mid-90s, nobody had to tell me to put my cell phone away because my cell phone would not have fit on my desk anyway. No one had to warn me about spending too much time on Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or Flickr or any of these other things. Is there a balance for that, or is that some, how do y'all deal with that? How do y'all deal with the fact that a lot of your – I'm not just picking on the young people. I'm sure it's everybody in every age group has a cell phone or a smartphone in their purse, in their pocket, in their sock, in their armpit, wants to update their Facebook post or whatever. How do you guys deal with that?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, and it is one that is evolving. You know, you're seeing things, court cases and other litigation that's happening around this whole topic, and so it changes, and it changes almost weekly. I thought it was interesting, recently I read an article that said that the fastest growing demographic segment on Facebook are those people over 65, so sort of an out there kind of thing. One of the things we did is we tried to make this a bit of a matter of policy so the employees would have some direction. What we've said is that credit union assets, including computers, are for management-approved purposes only. So that says, you know, we really ask employees to, on their work time, make sure they're working, that they're, you know, not out updating their Facebook, they're not texting friends, they're not doing those kinds of things when they're on work time. On breaks and on lunchtime, absolutely okay to do it as long as they use their own assets to do it. I mean, if you think about it, you know, it's not like you would go out and take company letterhead and write personal letters, you know, to your
I had not ever looked at it that way. That's actually a great way to look at it.
And so in the same way, we ask employees not to use company assets for their personal business. So it includes and that includes company computers. So we've tried to do that. We added a fairly extensive policy. We wanted to give employees a good sense of, you know, what the boundaries were, because it's, you know, it's a lot like a game in a way. Work is. If you think about it, you know, we're in March Madness now. We started that whole routine. It'll be interesting to watch. But there, on a basketball court, there are clearly defined boundaries of what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And if you step on that line, you're out. And so that's what we want to do is give employees those clearly defined boundaries so they understand what it is we expect from them. And just like in a game where when you have those, it's real clear for everybody and, you know, there really can't be disputations. It's either in or it's out. In the same way, we try and make it as clear as possible. Now, that doesn't mean that we're really crystal clear on this. Like I said, it's evolving. So, but we did try and put together some policy. We put it into the employee handbook. We ask employees to go through that handbook each year. We do make changes to it each year because, you know, things do change.
Right.
So, you know, we try and be really clear with employees about what we expect. And employees respond well.
Yeah, and we see that here too as well, that, you know, having very clearly defined expectations for the participation, because, you know, the involvement, to actually say that you're never going to have people involved in the social media aspect today is like saying, well, people are not going to drink bottled water, or they're not going to do something that they will do on a regular basis. I mean, it's just going to happen because it's ingrained in part of our everyday. To tell them they're not going to go to Starbucks, I mean, you know, it's all part of the regular routine. And I think you're right that it is the responsibility of management to provide to them a framework by which they can participate in a way that creates a balance. And, yeah, so I definitely know that those are very important aspects of this media. But do you guys, I want to just ask you from an HR perspective or maybe more from a marketing perspective, do you get involved in this social media aspect, and have you embraced it as far as the credit union and extending your relationships with members and your interaction with members through that?
Oh, absolutely. We, in fact, it really just really got going this year. We have a presence on Facebook, and I think we're up to about, I'm better not quote statistics, but we're up to at least 1,000 or more friends. And like I said, we just kind of kicked it off this year. And we've run a few sort of contests and some giveaways and some collaborative things that we've done with local television stations on some things that we've done. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. And people, it's also a challenge, you know, to kind of say, well, what do you do when you get negative comments and how do you deal with those?
Oh, yeah.
And, I think there's opportunities and there's threats.
Wow.
There's
risks. Well, we're going to actually talk about that. I hope when you're finished talking to us, you'll get a chance to keep listening to the show, because we conducted a little gentle experiment on Twitter this week. I wanted to ask you the last question that was obvious to me when I was at your facility. We were touring the facility, and we were going up and down this beautiful staircase. And Gene Erickson, who you know, was and Marshall Papke were walking us around. They were like, you know, we encourage our employees to use the stairs. And it's not those stairs that have the crazy right angles and it's tiny and you can fall down. It's a beautiful spiral staircase. He showed me how you had the vents in the floor instead of in the ceiling to kind of help with the transmission of, you know, cold and flu and stuff like this. I thought it was just a great example of a credit union embracing the whole concept that there is a completely relevant connection between wellness and employee morale and member service. How do you guys do such a great job at that?
You know, I think it is just having that focus. One of the other duties as assigned for our recruiting manager is as a wellness specialist and kind of our wellness guru. And, you know, we in each of the facilities here at corporate headquarters, we have a fitness center. So there's workout equipment.
Yep. Saw that too. They're beautiful, gorgeous facilities.
Yeah, there's a shower, so if people want to go for a run and come back, they can do that. We try and put a lot of emphasis on that. We try to do every other month we do a wellness brown bag, and we have people come in and talk about not just the physical fitness, but also, you know, emotional wellness. We had a counselor from our employee assistance program come last month and kind of talk about, you know, mental wellness, if you will. So we try and do these things on a regular basis to keep employees aware. And we also, as you may know, do some work with charities. And one of the charities that we sponsor this year is going to be the MS Society of Utah, Multiple Sclerosis. They do a 150-mile bike ride, and so we're sponsoring a team to participate in that MS-150. And it's really for all comers. Anybody that wants to come and ride can sign up. They also do walks. And so we're going to be sponsoring people for that. We do our own wellness fair that we invite vendors to come in. We've got New Balance coming this time. They're going to do some work on pronation and supination and, you know, what's your gait like as you run. We've got a group coming that's going to measure bone density. We do, you know, the typical metrics around cholesterol and blood pressure and glucose levels and all of those things, and we try and encourage employees to do that, and we try and get that out to the branches as much as we can too. And you know, of course, with the change in our healthcare regulations, we're encouraging employees to do their well care visits with their doctors and dentists, and make sure they do that. So lots and lots of activities that we do around wellness.
Wow. You know, Lynn, we really appreciate you being with us on the show today. I mean, you have given us so many great little nuggets of information. I mean, you've talked about some of the keys to the process is the management team and their total involvement in the process, from coaching, judging, teaching, mentoring, of how HR plays a key role in doing resource tie-in. I think that's pretty clever considering you're a human resource area. I love that. You talked about the core values. We know from an organizational studies over and over again how when members or our employees understand core values, those core values translate to service standards that translate to member service, and you tie that in together. The employee recognition, how important that is to make sure that employees are feeling like they are being understood. And then the wellness aspect, I mean, which realistically is so important from a corporate culture standpoint. I mean, all these little nuggets. So, Lynn, in order to help our folks get in contact with you, because they may want to steal some of these, I mean, they may want you to share some of these great ideas, how can we get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest is just to send email, and that is lmstevens, and it's Stevens with a PH instead of a V, at macu.com. But they're also welcome to give me a call if they'd like. It's 801-325-6206, and I'm happy to talk with them.
Hey, listen,
great. Thank you, Lynn.
I when I went and looked at all the stuff about your award and talking to you, I noticed something about you right away. I'm a professional speaker. I believe that words mean things, and when people use certain words, they're saying something about themselves. In virtually every article I read about you, you would always use the word, the term, the pronoun we. I don't think I've ever once heard you talk about I in describing this award. And as a person like me who struggles, believe me, I struggle with pride, as Troy will tell you. I just thought that that was a great compliment to what you're doing. If you're dealing with human people and human resources and personalities, you have to have more than a modicum of humility. It has to be, and I can tell from talking to you on and off the air, that Mountain America has a great person in charge of managing all those thousand-some-odd personalities to make that brand better. I want to wish you blessings on your work and on your day and on your family, and I want to thank you so much, wish you continued success. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right. With 3 minutes to go on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll probably have to go into bonus time to explain this little Twitter experiment prank. And we'll do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Troy, how many notes did you take in terms of?
I took pages, and what I just loved about, Lynn was just so willing to share this information, and I'm going to tell you though, for the credit union professionals out there who are listening for this, I mean, I think it's a matter of we know that we need to take care of our employees. It's now a matter of doing. And so he's given us lots of ways in which we can do. And I just really hope and encourage those other professionals out there to, if they're not putting some of these programs in place, step it up and put them in.
Exactly. This is my big thing this year. You know, there's a difference between waiting and doing nothing. And I think the waiting time is over. It's time for credit unions to get serious and get out there. And to me, even though I'm the guy, Troy, as you know, on this show, who was routinely dragged back to the whole concept of we're in a collective marketplace, which I don't believe, by the way, from a business standpoint, I still believe credit unions do a better job than banks of sharing their successes with other credit unions. And I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I made 13 little tick marks on this piece of paper with keywords that I hope to remember to talk about some of these things next week when I go out to Fort Lauderdale. Hey, listen, folks, if you're listening to the radio program, I honestly don't know what happens when we go over the 30 minutes, but we're going into bonus time here on the Radio Free Credit Union show. And, Troy, as you know, I was pranking a little bit earlier, middle part of this week, on Twitter. And I think Mike Barr, too, in Florida, might have been the first person to realize I was up to something. And I think Brent Nixon absolutely sniffed things out because he was emailing me or messaging me on Thursday morning, saying, "Hey man, are you all right? Are you doing okay?" I was impersonating somebody on Twitter, not like Rich Little impersonates somebody with a voice, not the way you've heard me impersonate Bill Clinton before the show, but I was trying to impersonate them based upon their celebrity personality, somebody you knew. And of course, all the people I asked, Barb Agin out in New Jersey, Alexia Mavrakis, who we had on the show last week, and a bunch of other people, all got it the first time I asked them. And obviously the person was Charlie Sheen. The self-indulgent tweets, the confrontational, antagonizing tweets. But, Troy, you know, I learned some things about Twitter this week. Number one, when you have these tete-a-tetes going back and forth And let's say I send you something, Troy, you don't like what I say, you come right back with me. I don't like what you say, I come right back with you. When those things were happening in seconds, not minutes, I would get inundated with new followers. You know, the pyramid guy, build your business from the ground up with this guy and stuff like that. And then you did something on Twitter this week that was actually meaningful, and you had a lot of success with it.
Well, we did. And it's because it's part of our strategy, again, through this Twitter process, through the social media aspect, is to create conversations that are about relational opportunities. And so we always try to write our blogs. We try to communicate in a way in which we are relating personally as the individual into something that may be real for folks. And one of the things that we talked about was this new Simple Perks program that we have at the credit union, which is a couponing, electronic couponing process that actually is hooked up online directly to your online banking aspect, and you get offers that come into your account based on the purchases that you make. And all you have to do is say, if you want to take advantage of the purchase of the offer, you click on it. The next time you use your debit card in the that takes care of that offer, then you automatically get the money the very next month when we settle up into your account. So it's just like it's a great thing. So I posed the question, are you a clipper or a clicker? Yep. And as a result, not only did our redesign get some emphasis in the Net Banker, but unsolicitedly, the Net Banker actually brought up our blog and our Twittering and things of that nature, and actually complimented the entire process by which we coordinated all of that messaging. And we just didn't say it one time and forget about it, but we did it differently in each of those venues, right, so that it created interest and excitement.
And I thought it was a great example that Twitter is a wonderful resource, but it is also a huge liability in different areas. And I thought the way you used it made sense. I mean, anybody listening to the show knows you're the guy with the real job. You're the guy with the real responsibility out at a big, humongous banking brand in the American Southeast. I, on the other hand, said a couple months back on the radio show that I was convinced the CU Twitter sphere were primarily credit union consultants having a conversation with one another, which is fine. If you want to be part of that social network, that is fine. But, you know, we had a situation where a credit union in Connecticut is calling me out and calling me a joke and a jerk and stuff like this. That's not why credit unions are on Twitter. You don't start having a conversation with some knucklehead in Texas when you're running a credit union in Connecticut. The problem is, and again, folks, we're in bonus coverage of a Radio Free Credit Union show. You'll have to listen to this part in the archive. But if you start having a conversation at a credit union with a knucklehead, pretty soon nobody can tell the difference. And so I thought that was also very enlightening. And the other thing is, Chris Morris dropped the tweet. You know, this was going on Wednesday night when the Republicans in Wisconsin did an end run around the non-existent Democrats elected in Wisconsin, who moved to, I guess, Illinois temporarily. Troy, you and I have never talked about that on this show. We don't get into a whole lot of political stuff on the show, but you can't drop a political tweet and not expect somebody to come back and respond to it and then be upset when they do. What I learned this week on
I mean, absolutely not. I mean, here's the thing about it. Anytime that you say something or you put it in print, you are subject to someone making a comment about it. I mean, unless you're having a private conversation, and if so, there are tools to have private conversations. But as soon as you have a public conversation, then that conversation is available for everyone. And what I'm going to say about this is, and we might be able to talk about this at another point in time as we we're going to close up here. But basically, when people have conversations so loud on their cell phones that I can hear them, I think I should be able to participate in the conversation, because let me tell you don't have to be screaming yourself in the public on the cell phone when I happen to be standing there. So, you know, I just get that.
Well, listen, man, it's Lynn said, The whole concept of having parameters and guidelines around social media work is constantly evolving. When I met you back in 2006, the concept of updating your Facebook page and a 4G phone that you could tuck into your, you know, palm, nobody knew it was there, that did not exist in any meaningful way in the United States of America. It didn't exist in any meaningful way here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And I think as you and I continue to have this exercise in social media, which is what Blog Talk Radio is, I think we'll be able to work out some of those issues together. If I offended anybody out there this week, you know what? It's a free country. I'm offended all the time when I listen to what's going on out there. I get stuff sent to me that offends me all the time. But you know what? That is what I mean when I say we live in a wonderful country. The Libyans would love to do that. The Egyptians would love to do that. There are people all over this world that would love to be able to express themselves in the spoken word and in print, and they can't. And I'm just telling you folks out there in the CU Twitter sphere, I will never back down. I will always do my best to be respectful. But sometimes you have to experiment with things to understand the limits and the liabilities and the potential of them, and experiments can be messy. Don't you agree, Troy?
I agree, and I think it's a great way for us to end this segment of our show. I think that's a really great way to put that into perspective.
Hey, listen, Troy, as always, thank you so much for joining us. You are a delight to have on each and every week. And, folks, if it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Next week, same place, same faces. We're going to have a little baby boomer talk next week with our buddy John Vardalis. And those of you going down to Fort Lauderdale, we will see you in just a couple of days. Hey, Troy, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, Jason.
Talk to you soon.